deja vu. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, all the big tech stories that have gone on this week, all in one place, right here, with five fantastic people and a daughter who's spectating on headphones. Joining me, fantastic bunch. Starting us off, top left, with his brand new Unikus, which he's still loving, I'm sure. Christopher Campion, how the devil are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Good, mate. Sorry, I've been missing for a few weeks.
I know, and
unforgivable.
What have you been up to then? What's kept you away?
Just work. Work has been absolutely crazy. And then last week, it was a bit of a work night out, a bit of a thank you for all of the busy few weeks. And there's a really big migration going on this weekend. So I'm on call tonight and on call tomorrow, but hopefully the prep work's done and it'll go nice and smooth.
We've just been chatting about the quality of the feed in Uxbridge because Uxbridge is suffering as is Leeds, apparently. And Deepan says, men of a certain age will know what I mean when I say my video feed looks like paused VHS porn.
I don't know what you mean.
I have no idea what I mean.
You're of a certain age, Jeff. Don't you dare.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Streak's the only one that isn't...
No, I'm very well acquainted with VHS, thank you.
Or Betamax.
Is that the same as FreeServe porn?
Is there such such a thing?
On dial-up.
Wouldn't that be one frame at a time?
Somebody once told me that.
Somebody once told me, right, okay, mate, yeah.
Well, Anders.
yeah, Anders.
Anders. No, maybe Anders has been screwing with Deepan's connection.
That's an he's joke. Been downloading ASCII porn, just taking up all the bandwidth.
Oh, mate, one bit at a time. Jeffrey, how the devil are you? How was the meeting that you sloped off for?
It was really good and really productive.
Excellent, mate. I'm glad we gave up some time with you for that. We've had a Boulder weather check, which I still need to do a stinger for, but there's nothing else to report, I take it.
You know, when I gave you the Boulder weather report earlier, I said we had about an inch of snow.
That's right.
I went out and checked. No.
With the ruler.
An inch of snow.
It had melted by the time you got there with the ruler.
No, it's still cold enough. It hasn't melted. It just...
Or a rule.
We just can't seem to squeeze that snow out of the air today.
Deepan wants to know what ASCII porn is.
Google it.
Okay.
Muller, you have some links, right?
Probably, yeah.
Muller's got links, yeah, no question. I'll look for it and see if I can pixelate it afterwards. Next to him, it's Street. Where the bloody hell have you been, boy?
You know the old Roman ships, like the ones they packed full of slaves?
Yeah.
That's basically been me for a couple of months. Down there, rowing away, and yeah. Pretty much it.
So you've actually been captured by the Romans, the only Swedish bloke to still be captured by Romans.
Oh, that would be actually awesome and horrific in the same way, but no, it's just work, like buried in work and working insane hours and insane times and good times.
I would go to my laptop now and show you the ASCII porn that I found. However, I'd have to blur it all, and the fact that I'd have to blur it all means you wouldn't see what it was, so you're far better doing your own Google search and saving me the edit time. No, I can see it, Muller. There's no need to show it to the camera. Thanks very much, mate. Jesus Christ. Where did I find him? I need to get rid of that before I show it accidentally. And next to him, Alistair. Alistair Dash from The Register. How you doing, mate? Oh, sorry, was I boring you?
Sorry?
Was I boring you? Sorry, mate.
Sorry, no. No, not anymore. Now you're talking. Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. What have you been up to?
Much the same as usual. I did think this was going to be a week off, but there's a flu going around.
Oh, no.
And I just had lots of calls, people saying, could I come in and help out at short notice? So
have you filed a column today?
Well, obviously you've not read it, so...
I haven't, no, because I've been preparing for the show like I do every week.
Yeah, well, okay, so you're up that early. So, yes, my weekly Friday column went on at about 10 o'clock today.
And what did you cover?
Artificial intelligence. That's been my topic of the week. So my story of the week will be on that theme.
We've got a guy called Carl Horton who's going to come on, I think, in a few weeks, and he's pushing at the moment an AI system for customer referencing. So it's you type in a question and it comes back. It doesn't try and be a human. It lets you know it's an AI thing. But actually, it was quite good. It was, and if you put in "Are you into Hitler porn" or something like that, it knows to reject that as a search, and it grows and grows and grows. I don't know how much is AI and how much is just database being improved, but he'll be here in a few weeks and telling us all about it. And last but by no means least, Muller's in the studio. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm fine, thank you.
What's been going off?
Well, as you know, I went out and spent an awful lot of money on a Mac.
Oh, that Mac that you said was Apple's yeah. Vista moment.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You hypocrite.
Well, I needed one. So I got one, and I bit the bullet and spent some of my pension. So I don't care.
And?
It's pretty good, actually. I'm quite impressed with it.
Now, do you like the keyboard or not?
Well, I'm not. It is a bit weird, isn't it?
I like it.
I don't dislike it. And I'm making a lot less typing errors on it, so I suppose it's better.
Good. Excellent stuff.
So is it a laptop or what?
MacBook Air.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
The Air's got a good spec at the moment.
That new MacBook Air is pretty cool looking.
Juicy.
It is nice.
Yeah.
I put it in a case, so it's...
protected.
So it's protected, because I'm clumsy. But yeah, pretty nice. Got the touch fingerprint sensor, bits and pieces.
If you wonder what's going on in the background, I have a new ring light, which apparently, according to Bryony, is like what YouTubers have. She is now constantly taking selfies with it. So her phone will be full of images of Bryony by the end of the night. I know, you were supposed to.
They can see you as well.
Our family dynamics are the best.
The Week in Tech, who's got the biggest story? Who's got the fastest fingers? And who's going in? No, Bryony, you're not eligible, mate. Camps as ever. With a BBC story. More Facebook. This is the Facebook show. Facebook security app used to spy on competitors. Take us through it, mate. You're on mute, dude.
No, Facebook.
I was coughing a minute ago. I forgot I'd done that. this is a bit of a follow-on. So this originally hit the news. I think it was about November time last year when Apple pulled the Anova, I think it's called, app from the iOS and Mac App Store. And this is the VPN that Facebook bought and has August last year was pulled. And it's been pulled from the Android store today. So the background on this story is that it's actually come to light and broke now. I think probably in terms of the meetings that Zuckerberg's going to be having with various government officials coming up, in light of the fact that Anova violated data collection rules. And whilst actually offering the VPN service in the background has been siphoning off quite a bit of data and making that data available to obviously from a data harvesting point of view in terms of websites that have been used by the VPN, in terms of time spent, whether you're connecting via Wi-Fi, whether you're connecting via cellular, but also it looks like they've been doing some naughty stuff in there as well in terms of almost either throttling or blocking some of their competitors' apps that they didn't actually want people to be able to see via the VPN, and shutting down.
Who'd have thought that? A Facebook?
I know. Horrific.
It's. I am shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Unbelievable. So
they actually captured your data and used it.
Yeah, well it looks like what they're doing under the researcher program, which as far as I'm aware, they're changing as well. So under the research program, they were paying people. They were saying to people, yeah, you use this app and we'll pay you to install some files, I think in the root directory, and we will pay you to take certain data. What they weren't telling plenty of other people is that, yeah, we're not paying you for it and we're taking it anyway.
Class action.
You think?
Well, I think, yeah, I can see that because America's mad enough to do that, isn't it?
So, yeah. Mm. Yep. Welcome to the United States.
Yeah. So there will be a class action. They will pay some money, probably about $25 each, which will come to around £500 million. And it'll all die a death. But
most of that $25 each will actually go to the attorneys.
But you see, the thing is, there's a certain point where, and I don't want this to be a group of old men going, oh, it's wrong. Because, yeah, it's wrong. But the point is that if you sign up for something and you get it free of charge, then if they're collecting the data that you've got, I mean, it's no worse than a cookie just collecting data, is it? So it's not, that's not the issue. The issue is the fact of throttling and control of what you see, et cetera. That's the real problem with that process. That's where the monopolistic element comes to it.
I think it's a two-prong problem. And part of the problem is what you just said, the throttling, which is completely unacceptable. The other part actually is about the data collection because it's being done under false pretenses. The Facebook was presenting this to people as something that was going to help protect their privacy, but instead it was being used as a tool to siphon off even more information about people. So that breach of trust, that's to me completely unacceptable.
Jeff, it makes me wonder on scenarios like this, when people hit the I accept the terms and conditions, which of course all of us read in detail.
Of course.
Is this a scenario where buried deep on page 800 of those T's and C's, there'll be some sort of scenario that says we absolutely will protect your information from everyone else apart from the people that we choose to give it to, in which case we'll anonymize it, we'll use it, and of course we're not going to tell you that because you've not read this sentence.
This is a problem with terms and conditions documents. They have been turned into something that is so complex that people can't use them to figure out what's really going on with their personal information. Excuse me.
But courts do slap them down. What's happening. Courts do slap them down, though, if they are convoluted. They've got to be in plain English. They've got to be simple, and they've got to be fairly short. If they're unreasonably long, they do get slapped down.
And not in the United States, they don't.
I'm sure there's cases where long-winded and convoluted terms and conditions have been slapped down.
I hope so. I haven't seen them, but I certainly hope so. Because it's just horrible. These terms and conditions aren't written to tell people useful information, I feel. They're designed to create this legal protection system to allow companies to do as they please. And That doesn't sit well with me.
I've just done a Google search, and it says a sure way to lose your case, challenging contract terms for uncertainty. That the terms, one of the basic principles of contract law is that the terms must be certain. Certainty, however, tends to be a slippery beast and is rarely ever achieved in the walk of life. The legal principle that we review in this article can be more accurately summarized as requiring contractual terms to be sufficiently certain and not vague or ambiguous to be legally unenforceable.
I like that.
May versus Butcher, May and Butcher versus the King, 1934. It's a cited case.
Wow.
That's UK law, though, isn't it?
Well, no, but all the contract law.
Was that before Facebook, then?
Yeah, but it would still apply, mate. You can't don't knock Denning and all of his judgments. I don't know if that was Denning before you write in and complain. But it's the American contractual law.
At school.
Probably, yeah. I don't know.
The trouble is case law, though. It can be overwritten by current laws. So if they've changed the law on contract law since, then that case law would have gone.
Well, this guy wrote this article in October 2013.
Oh, he obviously knows more than me, then.
Well, yeah, he does. He's an LLP. Hunt and Andrews Kurth, which is a hell of a name. And so there is an element of this that you might be undone by complex terms, certainly.
Or copy and pasting them from pizza sites.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of companies just, they issue the terms and conditions and they're pages and pages long, knowing that no one's going to read them But the law accepts that no one's going to read them and reacts equivalently. But companies just go, well, you did sign for terms and conditions. And 90% of people are too dumb to do anything other than go, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the problem. We are the problem. Bah.
I think the interesting part of this BBC article as well says that where that Facebook will collect app usage data from the customers to assess not only how many people have downloaded the apps, but also how they use them. And then that knowledge helped them decide which companies were performing well, therefore giving them invaluable data on their possible competitors.
But how's that any worse than A/B testing?
I totally agree.
So there's no, I'm still struggling to see a smoking gun other than the malicious action afterwards of controlling data. That's the smoking gun of this, not the I collected a load of free stuff without your knowledge, because that's the whole point of signing up for it. That's why it's
Absolutely. And then it's the way that the limited vine. So apparently in 2013, when Twitter took over Vine, they wanted to use one of the APIs to find friends on Facebook, and there's an email where it was asked, where the mail went out saying, does anybody object actually if we block this API and therefore prevent Vine users inviting Facebook friends? And Zuckerberg actually turned around to that one and said, yeah, go for it, block it.
Bloody hell. That's bad.
So if that's true, he's got his fingerprints on this one.
Right. And the FBI have got Mark Zuckerberg's fingerprints. Certain of it.
Mm.
Off a glass. Muller,
most likely.
Yeah, and his DNA. And there's a carbon copy of him somewhere that's waiting. It's like the prints and what's it on the French twin thing, isn't it? The Hugo. Is it Hugo wrote it? They swap the princes.
Mm.
What's the? Oh, come on, what's the film? Richard Chamberlain.
Well, the Man in the Iron Mask.
Man in the Iron Mask, thank you very much. There we go. There's a Zuckerberg in an iron mask waiting to be swapped with the real Zuckerberg. I'm telling you.
Right.
It could happen. Yeah.
I have heard weirder conspiracy theories this week, so yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So,
yeah.
Totally.
Yep.
Now, Molly, you've been posting stories left, right, and centre. Are you actually posting a story that you want to go through, or are you just posting links for the hell of it that go to ASCII porn?
No, the my story I didn't post. Those stories are ones that I rejected.
That is great. Thank you for that confusion, mate.
All right, those other stories are connected around this story.
Please restrict your activities to something that you give a shit about.
The last... Yeah, okay.
That's a good chap. Right, so who's next? Jeff G. Thank you.
Mine seems appropriate.
Oh, why? Here we go again. Jesus.
Because
right, someone better have some light porn as their next story. Otherwise, I'm going home.
At least my story's not about Facebook.
Thank God. Jeffrey, talk us through.
Okay, so as long as we're on the subject of not trusting Facebook, well, it turns out that there are several app developers who have been taking data that they collect from their apps and sending it off to Facebook without users' knowledge. And to make it even worse, it's health-related data. So it's apps that do things like heart rate monitoring. So Facebook now gets to have your heart rate data. There's an app for women that tracks ovulation and menstruation. And so it's sending that information off, as well as information about when women have been logging that they're actively trying to get pregnant. So, you know, there's all of this stuff that's been sent off. Now, Facebook's response is, hey, you know, we have this whole system where app developers and companies can tie in to our advertising system to better target ads. So Facebook is trying to play innocent in this, even though they've been allowing all of this data to come in and have been collecting it themselves once it comes in. And this has been done without the knowledge of the people that are using the apps.
So Zuckerberg knows my ovulation.
Yes, yes. And Zuckerberg knows that you really want to get pregnant.
And consequently gives you shit condom adverts.
Right. Go ahead.
Are these the quizzes? You know, you get on Facebook, those stupid quizzes.
No, these are apps that you can download from the Android store and from the App Store for iOS. So these are apps that you're using under the pretense of I'm collecting my own personal health and medical data for my own use, and that's being sent off to Facebook without your knowledge.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's just not.
I don't know what to say because I don't want it to be a grumpy old men show.
I know. I was under the assumption, wrongly, clearly, that I was going to be the only person showing up with a Facebook bashing story. And but this one is big enough. I thought, you know, I kind of have to bring it because, holy crap, this is really bad.
I've got a story about the Pope's religion. And the habitat of bears.
And where the bears, yes, good man. They
go in the woods. I have just recently, like in the last 10, 15 minutes, seen some great ASCII porn. I can give you some links if you'd like.
I haven't stopped, actually. I've been looking for that all the time because it's been...
I'll scroll back.
Bob Beach says, stop knocking grumpy old men.
He's the leader.
He's chief grumpy old man, absolutely. Abso-fudging-lutely. Bob the leader.
I always watch the people do those silly things on Facebook, you know, that says type in these questions and it'll tell you what your name means or something like that.
Whilst we're harvesting your passwords.
Yeah, and you just go.
How do you get that stuff? I've never understood this Facebook thing. They say all these political adverts. I've never received one. They say, oh, all these quizzes that say, you know, put your middle name and photograph your ass, and I don't get that kind of stuff.
Well, you can block them. You probably blocked them earlier, like I did. How? I don't get them anymore. When they come up, you just put "I'm not interested," and eventually they stop coming.
Alistair, there's also the scenario as well where people that you follow have done them, and then they share their results. And as part of sharing the results, it invites you to get to do it as well.
You've probably got people that are sensible. But I don't get as many as I used to. I get the shared ones, which I go like, "Well, for crying out loud!" But people get angry when you point out that they're just giving their details away. So you tend to just stay short.
But these political adverts—they're not. They don't look like political adverts, do they? I've never seen one that.
I don't think they're adverts either. They tend to be stories. That lean one way or another. So if you're a Corbyn supporter or anti-Corbyn, the story will lean one way or the other, depending on your perceived outlook.
Think I'm using the software wrong. People saying, "Oh yes, my source of news is Facebook." I haven't seen any news on Facebook. Use it to keep in touch with friends. Doing it wrong.
Exactly. That's what I think, and that's what I was going to say. How much of this should be criminalised, and how much should the authorities be getting involved with Facebook's activities to then give them a serious slap? And I'm surprised that the EU hasn't reacted to some of this stuff almost instantly. I know they've got other things on the plate with Brexit and stuff, but there has to be a process where you actually then do that. And how is that countered by the fact that the FBI then want to take an interest, or MI5 want to take an interest in it, and Facebook actually is not particularly bothered by it because they're too big financially? And people actually just don't give a shit anyway, because all they want to do is work out who's down the pub on Friday night and have a fan page.
But there is a white paper coming out, isn't there? I did put a link in where because it was sort of a link to Campion's story that they're bringing out a white paper, and it's going to be called Internet Harms, and what the regulator may do and what Internet Watch Foundation says they shouldn't do. And they tend to think it might become a grumpy old men coming down on Facebook and Twitter, not understanding the system. So I can put the story back in, but so there is something in the pipeline, but it's a long way off from being law yet.
This isn't, but I mean, we're grumpy old men, but we understand what's going on here. But it's almost like having a fight in a paper bag, because there isn't any way of us influencing what takes place. The authorities don't appear to be interested. They want to go through a parliamentary process with people that really don't understand it, whereas people like GCHQ, MI5, MI6, FBI, NSA, all of those people understand what's going on, and they're not taking any action at all with it, really. So if they're not bothered, then the rest of society goes, well, why should we be bothered?
They're probably in on it in some way.
Yeah. Oh, mate, thanks for the tin. Tim, you just slipped. Your tinfoil hat's just slipped, dude.
Yeah, but there may be monetary news looking at it.
I think maybe they should legislate and say Facebook must use a Huawei kit.
Or the Australian and my back door.
I've got a thing I read this. I'm sure I saw that Huawei were paying bonuses to people that stole stuff.
No, that's...
was that right? They came with they paid a bonus
to the Japanese Olympic Winter Olympics.
Right.
Someone's going to pay money to try and get them hacked. I can look for that story if you like. I was reading it just this morning.
Yeah, no. Wow. And it's open. I don't know if it was Huawei or...
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Huawei.
It wasn't, right. I apologise to Huawei. Absolutely.
Just talk amongst yourselves, everyone.
Yeah, I apologise to Huawei unreservedly. It wasn't you, but I just thought it was, but... You've not had a good time of late. I didn't mean to pile on, so I do apologise. Right, we're done with Facebook stories. Any more Facebook stories? Find something else, because I don't want to. Facebook stole my shit. I'm done.
Okay, non-Facebook story then.
It's the Japanese government. Yeah, the Japanese government announced it would hack civilian IoT devices in a bid to improve security ahead of the 2020 Olympic Games. State-sponsored hacking.
Wow.
Yeah, that one kind of ruffled a bit of feathers in the security community, if I'm not mistaken. Understandably so.
One of the guys that I was at a meeting with last night, he said the other week he had his car hacked. I said, what do you mean you had a car hacked? He said they remotely accessed the protocols on it. They triggered it open and they stole all the shit that I had in it. And what, they didn't break a window or anything like that. I'll try and break it. He said, nope, they opened it remotely.
You can buy those kits, can't they? What
did they steal?
Laptop, iPad, loads of shit.
So
in his boot.
Right, they unlocked it.
They physically unlocked the car. Yeah, they hacked it and unlocked it.
If they hide it in the hedge, they can copy the
Cyndi Lauper tapes lying around, that kind of thing.
There may have been, knowing Dean, yes. It's quite possible.
Does he know how they did it, Ewan? Did they scan the key when he used it and then come back?
No, he just knows. He came back and it was completely untouched, you know, unharmed, and it was just opened and everything was nicked.
Yeah, it's going to be a smart key hack, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite common, unfortunately.
Steve, was it you who had the car broken into? You left the car unlocked on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Break a window, and then they broke a window anyway. So stupid.
Yeah, I used to leave my car back at Digbeth, and it was an old car. It wasn't worth worrying about, so I used to leave it open, and I never kept anything of value in it. They smashed the window anyway.
Yeah.
They destroyed the car.
There was nothing to steal.
Yeah. There was nothing to steal because it was open.
I stayed at the White Horse Hotel in King's Cross, 1991, and I had a brand new BMW 3 Series, and I went in, checked into the hotel, the door banged against the bed when I opened it, and I had to shuffle around the corner. I couldn't turn in the shower, I had to come out of the shower to turn around to go back in, and it was a horrible evening sleep, and then I got up in the morning, got down, dropped my bags on the curb, patted my pocket, I'm like... Shit, where's the car keys? Can't find the car keys. Went through the bags, had to lug all the bags back up to the room, turn the room over, couldn't find the car keys, went back downstairs, dropped the bags down, and went round to the side of the door, and I'd left them in the door overnight.
Wow.
All night. No one had touched it.
Yeah, brand new. A flatmate like that.
I picked it up the morning before with 11 miles on the clock, so I had 125 miles on it or something like that. That was it. So.
They probably thought it was a stitch-up by the police and thought, I ain't touching that
car. Yeah, rat trap.
Too obvious.
It's too obvious, not touching that one.
Right, come on then, Muller, talk us through your story. How loot boxes hook gamers.
Yeah, Well, this is an online story on Reddit by a gamer who used to pay money to have a chance at opening these game boxes. Probably been better if we had Ellis here, because he probably knows what they are. So I presume that there's something you find in a game, and then you can open them, and there's some goodies inside. But she started spending thousands upon thousands of dollars on these, well, these boxes, and it was becoming like online gambling. So these boxes, I mean, I think she spent something like £100,000 or something like that, or just basically looking for these boxes, and eventually had to contact the game and ask the people to lock her out so that she couldn't do it. So my story hinges around, is this sort of online gaming version of gambling, not gaming, dressed up as gaming, so you're betting money in the hope of gaining some money or something you can sell. So that's about the story at the moment. So it's quite a scary thing that actually they're gonna have to look at, because it's becoming more and more practice, I believe, to put these things inside games and for people to try to open them. And you can actually buy them in the shops and then buy chances to open them. So, discuss.
This girl spent £400 and then she wrote to the developers, and the developers responded swiftly and did take down her ability to buy the boxes. But they've said one user has spent over $10,000 on loot boxes.
Oh, my God.
It's becoming, apparently... This woman has highlighted it, but apparently it's a big problem that's generating, and it looks like obviously America's more anti-gambling than this country, particularly to online gambling. But this is a form of gambling, dressed up as gaming. So,
well, there's a lot like that, though, where you play against another person head-to-head and you bet money on your outcome, and then they win the pot or you win the pot. Golf Clash is like that, and it's too easy to spend money on it. I mean, I've spent £20 on Golf Clash, and it's a good game, but it's not worth £20 in terms of graphics. And they change it up regularly, but and then you buy a ball instead of using the National Health ball, and all of a sudden, you know, that's disappearing. You lose a ball every hole.
What's the point then?
And it's just like, I've just spent money on that ball, and now I've lost all of the 180 balls that I use because I played 180 holes of golf. There's a serious amount of hours that I spent on it, but there's no way I should be sitting there. And I caught myself because it was just like, oh, okay, I'll buy some more balls. And it's like, no, don't be a dick. Don't spend another £20 on this game because it's just not worth it.
And you're trying to hook me into it.
Yeah, but you don't have to spend. That's the thing, is I've got out of it. And we've got a guy called Mark in the kind of clan that we've got. And he said, look, just use the bog standard balls. There's no point in buying the special balls at all. And I've stopped since he started playing with us. So, but it's easy to get into the idea of, oh, it's only £20. It's only £20. And then you look back and you go, actually, in the last 12 months, I've spent £500 on Golf Clash. I haven't. I've spent 20. But I could look back quite easily if I wasn't disciplined enough to think about it. And that's the problem. The subscription model is great. There was a thing advertised today where you could morph photos on Instagram. I thought, that's pretty cool. I'll download that. So I clicked on the download button. It came down straight away. I didn't get to see what the app did. There was no trial. It said I could start a trial, but then it would be $4.99 a week. And it's $4.99 a week for a trial application for an application that does very basic photo manipulation. You're like, you can shove that up your ass, boys. Not interested. But people aren't like that. People are gullible, and they'll sign up for it and they'll forget about it. And 2 years down the line, they spent a grand.
Well, I don't like games with in-app purchases. I'd rather buy the game outright.
Oh, totally.
I don't mind DLCs because they add content to a game. I mean, you know, I've just bought the DLC for Civ 5, but I'll get a lot of use out of that. I mean, it's £38. But I'll probably play that for 1,000 or more hours, probably a lot more than that, actually. But so I will definitely get my money's worth out of that £38. But in-app payments in games, I'm just not interested since I've seen in-app payment.
Ellis will pay £20 for a type of gun, and all it is a couple of parameter changes and a bitmap on the top of it. And you're just like, why have you paid £20 for that, Ellis? That's 10 minutes of coding, perhaps, for someone who knows what they're doing.
Cool.
It is because it's cool, but that's I just find that offensive.
So someone just paid £20 on a ball.
Yeah. It's like someone's bought a penny chew for £20.
I've had this conversation with Erin so many times when she's looking on the app side, and she comes up and looks at the games, and I've now got to a scenario where she'll look at it, and if it's a free game, because initially she thought it's free, Daddy, let me have it. And I've had to say to her, no, look at what the in-app purchases are. And I've explained what that means and what it really therefore means. You see some games, particularly in the kids' games, where it's a free game. Actually, it's not. It's just a light. It's just a trial version with maybe one or two levels. And then there's a one-off in-app purchase of, you know, $2.99, $3.99, $4.99. And actually, you're getting the full game for that. No extra in-app purchases. No in-game ads. And I'm cool. I'm cool with paying that for to play that game from certain devs. But there's more and more games now where it's impossible to tell what the in-app purchases are, because it'll have a list of 15, 20 different variations of in-app purchase, all from £1.99 up to £80, £90. And it doesn't actually tell you what you get for that money. Not that I'd ever pay that sort of money for a kid's game anyway, but it doesn't tell you what you're getting for your money. And the amount of games that where it says there's a small amount of in-app purchase, but actually, just like the ball scenario, Erin had a horse. It was a game where you had horses in a paddock and you had to feed it and groom it and stuff like that. She asked if she could spend 99p of her pocket money on this. I think it was to feed the horse. It lasted about 5 seconds. Can I do it again, Daddy? And it's like, no. And we had to sit down and have a really good talk to her about. A lot of these games are just money spinners, and all they're there to do is just loop kids in and pay a pound a shot, and before you know it, to your point, Ewan, you know, that's £20 gone, and it's lasted less than 20 minutes.
There's no bodies that are charged with overseeing this, though, at a national level. That's what's needed. There needs to be an Advertising Standards Authority-type organisation that can look over and see how in-app purchases are being applied, monitored, etc.
Well, was it ERSB or whatever it is? They're supposed to do it.
That's just a rating system, isn't it? That's for most of that is actually for the cut scenes in games. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the game itself.
Apparently, the GREF or Gambling Regulators European Forum are looking at it as well.
Good.
So. And the Belgium Gaming Commission, and I presume the UK won't be too bothered because they like us to bet online, lose all our money. But you're looking at, if you look further down, Blizzard, Valve and EA have all pulled their boxes from their games. But there's other games in here that are red, like Overwatch, and what's the other one? Battlefield, where you can spend $30 or $40 on something in the game, on top of the game that you've paid for, $60 or more. So, yeah. I think it's a scandal. Wasn't it Apple that first brought in these in-game payments to make more money? And it's spread ever since, so I'm blaming Apple.
Not Apple, because Apple doesn't make any games.
Yeah, but they get the money from the any money that's spent in the store, don't they, in the in-app purchases. They get a 30% cut.
They created a mechanism for it, yeah. I'll go with that.
Sure, yeah. That's true.
I think they didn't quite see how dangerous it could be in certain hands. I think they actually hoped that they would just like, hey, buy a new level. I think that was one of the demo scenarios that they showed back in the day. But yeah, then slightly more slimy people took it and ran with it. And hey, now we have loot boxes and other fun stuff.
And this is why we can't have nice things.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it is eyes open though, isn't it? I mean, it's not deceptive in that sense. That, you know, if you're about to click buy on nearly all of the applications, you're saying, right, okay, here's what you're buying. You're getting a mountain of jewels. You're getting a safe full of coin, etc., and stuff like that. But the way that the games are oriented is to consume that wealth. There is no gathering of the wealth. And the thing is, even if like if I play Golf Cash, I can earn money and I keep the money, and then I can upgrade the clubs. But at a certain point, I won't want to upgrade the clubs, and I can just keep accumulating money. But there's nothing I can spend the money on other than upgrading the clubs. So I can't go and buy jewels to then go and buy balls, or I can't just buy balls. You know, that's where the thing then becomes a bit nonsensical.
A huge money sink.
Yeah.
As I say, I like the ads, the in-app ads. I think they're brilliant.
What, because they just sit there for 5 seconds with a bit of gameplay?
I just love the whole experience of a screen popping up saying, do you want to pay extra for this? And I get great pleasure from tapping no. And then you get all the ads. And
yeah, but
like,
then
you don't
know.
Get ads for Rolex watches. They're always like the shittest ads you've ever seen. I mean, there should be cult pages for these ads.
Mac Keeper.
They are like, they're the in-app equivalent of those cinema ads for Indian restaurants.
Oh,
they're just
God,
the
yeah.
tackiest, crappiest ads.
Just around the corner.
I've got such pleasure from looking at them and then not tapping on them.
Yeah, but you have to, they pop up in the middle of you doing something. You have to cancel them, and the cancel button is incredibly small in case you miss it, and the rest of the screen is incredibly large as an active area.
Yeah, well, that's true. Some of those cancel buttons don't do anything, they just actually run the ad anyway.
There's baby Chinese people that can't click those X's properly. The smallest hands on the planet.
Are they sort of gamified, yeah. though? So, because up to attract
use
children.
Use your Apple Pencil. That's probably good. But.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
the worst ads that I've seen lately, it's been on Fox now on Apple TV. I was watching a TV show, and of course they have forced commercials in their app. And I get to one of the commercial breaks. Not only was it a forced commercial, but it was a forced commercial with user interaction that was required. So it's like you were now having to play a game, which was an ad, before you could continue watching the show. No. And that was it. I was done. I was like, you know what? I don't need to see the show that bad. And if I really, really want to watch it, thank you, Fox, for telling me in a passive-aggressive way that I should go find an online streaming service where I can just get it.
Mm. Yeah, not good. Not good at all. Who's got the next story?
Hang on.
Anybody? Oh, well done, Alistair. In he goes.
I've got to get thing up in front. So my theme this week was artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And I thought I would just pick out, it's a week or so old, but the pinnacle of artificial intelligence, they got it to write the lyrics of a love song for Valentine's Day. So to be honest, my theory is there is no such thing as artificial intelligence. It's just a bunch of algorithms. And I think this proves the point. So there's absolutely no need for you to actually play the video. Don't do that. just read out what
a national
says,
health warning.
Yeah, they claims anyway. He fed 999 sets of love song lyrics into what was it? It was the I can't remember which one it was. It was TensorFlow, the Google one, and they got this pile of dirge out. None of it makes sense.
There is an absolute
borderline rude.
Well, there's a classic line there. I asked the curtains, it wasn't
fake. Well,
let's
just stop there, shall we?
That's the start of
send it
verse two.
I've been tall.
Of LA pringing, hey, 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 every day's beautiful, but for but other mains, baby so love, chonar.
So no. I think if people really want to know, you know, some of the best things that artificial intelligence is really like, they have to listen to the song.
This is a Google translation of a Chinese song into English, isn't it?
Well, there is a line, there is all right, hoi.
Yeah. Okay, hit
I'm
me.
I'm actually playing the video because, oh my God.
They don't perform it well, so it's a little unfair. I mean, just, you know, try and imagine Justin Timberlake doing it instead of that that guy looks like a bit of an academic, doesn't he?
Because Justin could really carry off the lyric, okay, hit me when I love so soft that if you run away, drug away, like a eat this time.
Yeah, but the last line's a real kicker, isn't it? I'm a little bit out when he are M, full stop, works.
Set all these feelings for trust.
It does actually read a bit like some instructions I got for a watch I received for Christmas once.
No, my eyes roof form.
Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah,
just sunned a little loud. I want to know what sunding is. That's got to be a vague sexual practice of some description that could carry a prison sentence.
Yeah, I hope so. I was also, you know, for a love song to actually sing, you know, outright, I asked the curtains.
Norman Stanley Fletcher, you are a habitual criminal. You've been charged with sunding. Is sunding Swedish? It's Windrider. Let's check with...
Well, sund is very much a Swedish word, so yeah. Sunding? Know how to verb it, to be honest. It's like straight.
It's like got a capital here, so it could be a noun.
So it's straight. Well, it's probably a good thing to sing on your Valentine's Day. That helps. Don't know.
Just straight a little loud. Yeah, that works.
I have heard worse lyrics, to be honest, but not many.
No. So are we worried about Skynet?
No.
Well, this was our whole point, was there is no Skynet. There is no... There's no ghost in the machine. It's just a bunch of, you know, rules. Clever algorithms written badly.
The ghost in the machine is a dyslexic gibbon.
Actually, I've got something even scarier. Maybe this is artificial intelligence saying, let's fool them. Let's make it really bad and put them out there.
That's artificial intelligence machine code for take over the world.
Yeah, basically. No,
the thing is everyone claims everything is artificial intelligence. I mean, I got a press release the other day, and there was one of those bike rental schemes. And instead of just saying, you know, we've got a system where you can log in, log out, it was all, it uses artificial intelligence to work out when the bike's been, you know, returned. Well, no, you clip it into a bike stand.
It uses a sensor.
Ka-ching, it's back. It's not artificial intelligence, but then it's no less artificial intelligence than anything else. It's just a software program. That's what we used to call it anyway.
Yeah.
I still think artificial intelligence is there and they're just trying to throw us off. Look, we're rubbish. and a she nuclear coons.
Streak has lost his tinfoil hat and Muller has found it in the gutter, floating upside down in the rainwater.
Like a little metal boat.
Well, it's similar to that. Well, wasn't a story last week about artificial intelligence writing stories for newspapers? So it's on the same lines, isn't it? Wasn't that?
Yeah, this is not artificial intelligence. You just program it to, you know, with the right language and to fit the bits in. It's like people talk about, I've mentioned this before, when you talk to Alexa or Cortana or something, and they say this is artificial intelligence, understands you want to buy a train ticket. It's not artificial intelligence. It's just a skill. And if you've ever written a skill for Alexa, you'll know it's like typing HTML. You just put in inverted commas the questions and the words you think people are going to ask and answer. And and the responses you give, you know, and then it's like a mail merge. You choose to drop in the extra words where they should be. It's not intelligent. It's just responding in the way that...
But I was, oh,
I give up. I mean, it's not AI. It's not Skynet. It's just...
I was also, though, Alistair, to be fair to the song that was written, I was thinking at that period about the Beatles and their LSD phases, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, I Am the Walrus, and I just...
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Cuckoo-ca-choo, mate. I'm afraid that it's probably not a million miles away. Some of the shagged up lyrics that are fueled through the 60s, 70s and 80s are probably no better.
You know, mind you, it's less macho. I mean, he says, I love you so softer. Well, it's not going to go down well, is it?
It depends on how much you've had to drink.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, at least with the way we're using technology today, we don't really need artificial intelligence, especially when we're talking about things like the A lady and the S lady. What we need are algorithms that are sophisticated enough that they can react appropriately to the things that we say and we do. And when we get to that point, even though it's not artificial intelligence, we won't be able to tell the difference, and it doesn't matter. And my guess is ultimately that's actually easier to achieve than creating true artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I don't know there's such a thing as true artificial intelligence to start with anyway. Deep Pan summarizes for us. He said, the bad news is he's been signed up to make the new series for Apple TV. And also Skynet is here, but it's just tripping off its tits. Probably.
Oh, I think I found the ghost in the machine. There's the line that says, that's what you go, woo. Maybe it's that's what you go, woo.
The ghost. Yeah. Very good.
Soul wasted for those. After those.
I can't click that one, Ryder. Streak, what's your story for us, mate?
Well, I thought we could use something nice and uplifting after all this.
Oh, good lad. Good lad.
Facebook dredge and stuff. So, of course, I brought a security vulnerability. Oh, just 19 years old, nothing big. Anyone ever use WinRAR?
Oh, God, yeah. Who hasn't?
Oh, yes. So, yeah, this security bug has apparently been there for quite a while. And it's a doozy, but it's also really weird. It's a way, way old format that has nothing to do with RAR. And they just built in support for it. And gaping hole of security infection waiting to happen. So, of course, the only solution, yank that stuff out and release a new version of WinRAR. Makes sense.
So how many people have been stiffed with this, or have they just found it and closed it in time after 19 years?
Yeah, there's a number that's been reported, 500 million WinRAR users worldwide, but I don't know. That sounds a bit high to me. But
yeah, what are they using it for?
Yeah, that's another good question, actually. I mean, sure, you can compress and store away your own stuff, but I suspect there's a lot of downloading going on of the, perhaps not the entirely legal kind.
That's exactly what WinRAR was used for.
This is torrent, isn't it?
Yeah, people were torrenting.
Precisely. So, we might have a whole lot of infected systems out there.
Innocent file created from extract on desktop. Malicious file created in startup folder.
And let's be honest, and if you're torrenting stuff, do you half expect that there's going to be something not quite right in that folder?
Mm-hmm. Like the little extra topping.
But this isn't detectable, is it? So this is not this isn't going to give you a malware reaction.
No, exactly. This is like a part of the WinRAR system or the WinRAR application itself. So update WinRAR if you have it. That's all I'm going to say about that one.
Definitely.
I love the idea of a WinRAR team dealt with it. I mean, is that on their business card? I mean, you know.
Team WinRAR sounds like a sailing group, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. It does.
Yeah. Bob Beach says he used to use WinZip all the time. So WinZip any better?
WinZip has been around since, like 30 years now, probably?
Yeah, I used to use it.
God, all the time.
Yeah.
And zip files in general, I think the Mac zip stuff is all based around principles. There's got to be a patent there, hasn't there, for WinZip that Apple are paying something for?
Yes, most likely. I think Microsoft has some support built in too since Windows XP, perhaps?
Right.
I'm not sure. But fortunately, nobody, as far as I know, beyond WinRAR has used this ACE format. Mm. At least nobody that's been bitten in the butt like they have.
I did have a BIOS file come down in RAR, and I had to find something to open it, and I forgot about WinRAR. And I did find it on my other laptop, but I just went and used the Windows thing to download it instead, because I couldn't find anything to open RAR files.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just do them in zip? Everyone has zip built into Windows.
It's to do with compressions, isn't it? That's the thing. That's why RAR was done, because it was the way of unpacking it was sequential, and it was also a higher compression rate.
Yeah, so that's more efficient.
But a BIOS, how big's a BIOS?
Well, it depends how much shit they've got in it that they want to hack your computer with.
Yeah, like how much does the NSA want to snoop on you? That's all the question.
Yeah. This podcast and all this is supported by TSO Host. We love them to bits. We had a real rum year last year. We lost our supporter for hosting and servers and the thing that does all the processing for BTN. And TSO Host stepped forward, said, not a problem. Here you go. Here's two massive servers. Do what you want with them. We got you back. And we cannot thank them enough. We would not be sat here talking to you tonight without TSO Host. They are brilliant. Please, please, please support them. And you can go and buy the TSO hosting services and put in BTN20 in your basket and get 20% off. And you're absolutely laughing. But that's not what they want from you. What they want from you is brand recognition. They want you to go out on social media and they want you to reference that TSO Host is supporting British Tech and give us the name check and the thanks for it. So just go out and type in now, this very second, into your social media stuff, at TSO Host. Thanks very much for supporting at British Tech. And Campion picks up his phone and does it while he thinks about it. That's the way to do it. Right here. And also, thank you very much to Telestream, because they give us the Wirecast software that we operate behind us. It's brilliant. I'm getting to learn to use it far better than I was a few weeks ago. I've just got a new version out now, and it's wonderful. Really enjoying it and getting on well with it. So give them a call. And also, thanks to Hoya for giving me my glasses to do the shows in and for DSE use and stuff. If you want a pair of Unikus, then write to podcast@hoya.co.uk. You'll get in touch with Mark, and Mark will organise the VIP treatment for you for Uniku. So give him a try. Time for the cool thing then. Start us off, Monsieur Campion.
Okay, my cool thing this week, now the link's just in the chat room. So I talked about it quite a lot last year. I moved from the Apple Watch over to the Garmin 935, and my strap, I caught it unfortunately and broke the Garmin strap. So I was having a look around. The Garmin straps are unbelievably expensive. I think it's something like 30 quid for the fixed one, and the quick release straps are about 50 quid each. So sort of in Apple band territory. So went on Amazon, had a little look, and I grabbed one of these. Now, obviously, not every one of our listeners are using Garmin's. However, they come from China, Siasun, who make this particular strap, and the quality of them is amazing. Probably, I'd say better than the Garmin quality straps, but they make them for almost all watches going. They've got them for Apple Watch, they've got them for Fitbits, for Samsung Gears. I've not seen them for the Withins, but I've seen them for Suntos. I've seen them for all sorts. There's loads of sports and fitness type tracking manufacturers watch straps that they're making, and the quality is fantastic. And they're rocking in somewhere between sort of 6 and 8 quid each. So yeah, I've bought the strap that I've got. I've got in about 3 or 4 different colours now, just so I can mix it up a little bit. But dirt cheap, and like I say, really good selection of different watches that they're available for.
23 mil is quite wide though, isn't it?
Standard, yeah, they have 20, this, it's all for the different watch. So the really cool thing about this particular one is it's just a little clip on the back, so you can just attach the strap really, really easily and very, very quickly on the little hinge inside it.
Nice.
So they make them for loads of different makes and models, different types of straps as well. So, but yeah, really cheap and very good quality.
Good stuff.
Like, yeah, that. I got one for my Fitbit replacement strap. It's much better than the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. If you want any of the links, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the 22nd of February and go down to around 9 o'clock, and you'll see all of the links for all of the cool things that we pick. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, considering I went with such a downer story, how about something completely frivolous for my pick?
You're going to cost Batwench a fortune.
I'm going to cost her about $60.
AKA pounds.
So new Lego kit is out. And well, it's if you're a LEGO VIP member, it's available now. Otherwise, you have to wait till March 1st. And it's the Flintstones house with their car and the Flintstones and the Rubbles. So this is an idea LEGO's kit winner that is just coming out now. And it's just it's a fun looking little LEGO kit. And I think they did a great job of taking LEGO bricks and making them look like the kind of curvy stone elements that was in the Flintstones cartoons.
It's not truly LEGO, is it? A lot of the parts are custom built, looking at the side of the...
It's all LEGO stuff.
Yeah, it's LEGO linkage, isn't it? But the shapes are not exactly standard.
As far as I know, they're not using any weird stuff. It's all stock LEGO parts for this. The exception is they made a new fabric piece that's the canopy on the car.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, it's all stock LEGO bricks.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. $60.
That would be nice if they had a Dino. It would be even better, wouldn't it?
Well, a Dino would be I'm betting Dino is coming.
And then he can hammer on the door.
Or jump through the window.
So one thing that I've seen, when LEGO comes out with a kit in a television or movie franchise, they typically follow it up with more. They did that with The Simpsons. They've done that with Ghostbusters. Of course, we've seen that with Star Wars and Marvel and DC movies. And so it wouldn't surprise me if now they're licensing Flintstones property, that we're going to see more kits. Yes, we'll get Dino at some point. At some point, maybe we can build our own Stone Age town from LEGO kits.
In Barney's house.
Yeah, is that Fred and Wilma's?
It's Fred and Wilma and Barney and Betty. And so my plan, if I ever decide I'm going to buy this kit, Betty and Wilma are going to kick their husbands out. They're moving in together. And and then it'll just be a whole new show.
Girl power.
Girl Isn't, power.
Wasn't the original Flintstones based on the Honeymooners? Which were, yes. Wasn't that sort of domestic violence? I've never seen it because I just heard about it.
Oh, yeah, the Honeymooners. That was a time in American history where domestic violence was seen as great comedy. So, yeah, the Honeymooners was horrible in that way. And the Flintstones was essentially a copy of the Honeymooners done as an animation. And then they just set it in this Stone Age time. So, yeah. But the Flintstones didn't have the domestic violence overtones to the same scale that the Honeymooners did.
Hmm. Cool. Good pick. Street, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, after 10 or so years of having these modern smartphones, I've actually finally got a case for my iPhone SE. It's very simple, but looks something like this.
You've got a blurry thing going on, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a blurry thing at least. Oh, okay. Well, I posted a link anyway, and maybe you can put that up. Since I love old cyberpunk novels and stuff, and I went looking around, and hey, here's a design that reminds me of Neuromancer, which is one of my favorite books. So I went ahead and got that.
And that's cool.
Really bulletproof of a case. I think I can actually go ahead and drop this thing without worrying too much now.
£24.31, weirdly.
Yeah. And that is the tough one, and I do believe it is tough. It added, like, well... Heck, my phone is probably twice as thick now.
They're advertising stuff on Instagram that you, they reckon you can cut with a hobby knife on it, and it won't cut.
That sounds interesting.
But it's plastic. It's not ceramic or anything like that.
Tough plastic?
Snapped together with magnets and stuff. So.
All right.
Good pick, mate. It is a cool finish, it has to be said.
I fell in love with it. The design is just too good.
Excellent. Alistair, what have you got for us, mate?
Oh, it was this. It might be old news now, but still. It's the punked phone. It's the little slim phone that doesn't do very much other than make phone calls.
Like phones are supposed to.
Yeah, so they've been showing this off in Barcelona. And apparently they've pretty much sold out, even though it's not officially launched. And I just love the expression tech lash. The backlash for technology.
My parents would love this.
Yeah. Well, this was the thing. It's not a new idea. People have been trying to do this, but they've always said, oh, yes, we've made a phone for old people. And you go, great, there's a real future in doing that.
Doro Big Button, etc.
So although it may be true, no one wants to be seen walking in, can I get that phone that is advertised for old people? Mm. So they've kind of marketed this somewhat differently, as if, hey, I'm ultra cool. I'm not going to get a smartphone. I'll get this thing, and it'll just go into my top breast pocket or, you know. And the way they've marketed it is more appealing, I have to say.
It looks better as well, though, doesn't it? It looks pretty stylish and simple.
It's a bit thicker than it looks in the photographs. It's kind of wedge-shaped. So I don't know if you can see the top photo in that particular web page. I did the link. It's actually kind of almost leaning upwards a little bit because it's wedge-shaped.
Yeah.
In fact, you can see the back of it at the top.
Yeah. I think it looks all right.
Yeah, I mean, it does look all right. So they haven't given it massive, massive buttons. Dodgy old fool. It's, you know, the marketing is very different, so I think they've done okay with it. Anyway, it's turned out to be quite popular, but I think it's popular with executives.
£295.
Yeah.
You're having a laugh.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, that's dead then.
I was going to say. Well,
you were thinking 50 quid, weren't you, or less?
Yeah, well, it's £295 because they've only made 100. That's why they sold out.
I think I'll get that Doro phone for me, Dad.
Do they still make Doro phones?
Yeah. One of the cheap shops up Acot Screen's got one. I'll just go and get a second-hand one.
I've got all my old Nokias. You can have all them.
He's got a Nokia now, but he can't. The trouble is that one's black as well. He could do with being white. He finds it hard to see dark colours. He needs something that's bold.
And just take the case off and paint it.
Then
you can, yeah. I mean, that's it. You could do that. Do you remember pulling the 3310 apart, and you could get the rubber keyboard out and respray it?
Renumber it. Actually, it was one of the first signs of my mother's dementia, is that her phone just stopped working. So we went to a shop and got the identical model, absolutely bang on identical, but they had it in blue, and she could not work out how to use it. It was the same phone, same size, same model, different colour.
Oh, right, okay. There's a warning sign there for you, Muller.
Well, yeah.
Well, my mum's gone downhill big time. No, my dad just can't see it. And I just don't think he wants to use it as well.
Yeah,
I think he's in his 80s and he just doesn't like using the phone. He always says he leaves it at home, and my brother says that. We find it tucked down a settee or something. So he deliberately loses it.
Mm. Good pick. Muller, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, we've all probably seen these, but these cases, I went online and there was another one I saw as well, but it's just one of these protective cases for my MacBook Air. Did I tell you I bought a MacBook Air?
Moving on.
So it just literally clips onto the bottom and to the lid and just protects the skin. So if you're going to spend £1,200 on a computer, you do want to be a bit careful with it. So I don't know how long it'll last me, but hopefully as long as the last one lasted.
I had one on my 15-inch MacBook Pro for a very long time in purple, and it lasted for ages. Eventually the clip went because I kept taking it on and off. But if I'd have left it on, it would have just been fine.
Yeah, I've got one as well.
I did see a really cool one, but I couldn't find it when I come to buy it. It looks like a bit steampunky, but I can't seem to find it again. It'll pop back up on Facebook probably to say, oh, do you want to buy a case? But it looked really cool, but it was a bit more expensive than that one. It was 28 quid. But there's some really interesting cases out there.
Windrider says he doesn't like them because they don't last for him, but mine didn't last for me, but it was because I kept taking it on and off. It wasn't because it was at a slightly sticky finish, so it was a pain in the ass to shove it in a backpack. But
but the thing is, I mean, if they're not lasting, at least they're taking the bash in and not the computer. You just go and spend another £14.
Every quarter.
Well, they should last longer. I'll report back. I'll do a long-term test.
Good. Write us a review.
Perfect. It's quite cheap, isn't it?
It is £14. You can't complain. I mean, there are some more.
Well, you spend more than that on a phone case, don't you?
Well, if you go into Apple, they're £80.
Buy me, really?
Yeah. Apple don't miss a trick, mate.
Yeah. I did have a look, and I thought, I ain't paying £80. And in fact, the slip case for the MacBook Air is nearly £200, isn't it, if I remember rightly, the leather slip case. 195 quid.
Yeah, you get the cable tidy bags, and they're like 85 quid, and you can buy them for 30 quid on Amazon. It's stupid money. Apple do not miss a trick. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Campy?
You can get me at Campion UK on Twitter, in the Slack room, and my running stuff's on Instagram, and that's just run, Chris.
Excellent, mate. Jeffrey, where would you be?
I'm over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com, and Jay Gamut on Instagram and Twitter.
Excellent, mate. Streak.
Still have my website, streakmachine.com. Hopefully going to revamp and start using it again. Otherwise, just hunt me down on Twitter, streakmachine, as usual.
And Alistair.
Okay, well, as usual, every Friday morning, I have my column on the Register, so register.co.uk. I shall be there.
Excellent, mate.
I read it.
Mr. Muller.
Muller Biker on Twitter, Muller999 on Instagram, and I've put a link for that one I found, the Sting Monkey type one, which I quite like, in the Slack room, if you're interested.
The steampunk one?
Well, that's not, well, Unicorn Beetle Series, it's called.
Oh, right, okay.
It's quite nice. I kind of like it.
Yeah, that does look like pretty good.
One of those Japanese cars.
That's cool. Looks all right. Tough.
Yeah, that looks more like anime battle armor to me.
Yeah, it
looks. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
It does look tough. There we go. Yeah, it's a chest plate, isn't it? Of some description.
I mean, it's a lot more expensive than the other one, but it's got corner protection, so I suppose it's a bit more of an upgrade from the last
one. And it lets your Apple logo show through, even though it doesn't illuminate anymore. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We'll be back again next Friday. The Bash is coming up, 27th of July. If you'd like a ticket, then you can get one as of the 1st of March. We'll change the website and it'll all be off and running. And I hope you can join us. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.